Lynn? Oh, no, you called her. Okay, good. That would have been scary if she called in.
You want to talk to her?
What's seven. She on? Line 7? Line 6?
Yeah, 7. Uh-oh. She's on.
She Hello. Up?
Hello.
Susan?
Yes?
Did you hear me talking?
No, what did you do?
This is Adam Carolla from Loveline.
Who?
I'm on the air with your husband's on tonight.
Oh, yeah, you. I forgot about you.
I was saying to your husband that I was at my house today. Somebody came over and picked up the invitation for Drew's birthday party. And they were reading through it, and they got to the bottom where it said $20 for kids, $10 for adults.
Flipped around.
And said, what's up with this? And I said, I don't know. I never really thought about it, but it is a little peculiar that you're charging to go to someone's birthday party. As a matter of fact, if anyone knew Drew, they'd know that he should be paying them to come to the party. So now, where's that coming from? I'm not trying to put you on the spot too much here, but I am trying to bust your balls a little bit.
Well.
$20? I see Drew every night. I'm miserable. I pay $20 if he'd go in the bathroom for a half hour and leave me alone.
Well, here's the real reason. Because I'm used to throwing parties where everybody says they're going to show up and nobody shows up.
Oh, so you
maybe
gonna
you know,
punish
I'll,
them?
I'll have 20 people invited, and they'll say they're going to come, and only 10 will show up.
Right.
And basically, it's just to guarantee that they're going to come to the party.
Yeah. Now I feel like paying the 20 and not going, just to make a statement, you know, man. So,
no,
but hold on, Susan. People are going to Vegas for this thing. They got to get a room. They got to get airfare, right?
I know, but you could have talked to me.
And not put it on the radio.
I know, but this is good. This is good for the air.
I probably would have let you off the hook.
But here's what I'm saying. If you're obviously people are going to show.
It's a test. If people start belling that up, she knows they're coming.
But if people belly up the $400 or whatever it is for the airfare.
They always cancel that.
All right, but if they cancel that, then they're not getting the money for the party either, are you?
Well, the other stuff, right, that's the only one you won't get back.
Here's what we've
you won't?
In the past.
Yeah.
Unless she gives it to you.
So you could actually make money off this?
Well, you know, this has a history. We actually
I'm sure this is fascinating to everybody.
Get together and have a party, and we said, you know, everybody come to dinner, and we'll have a big dinner, and everybody would pay for their own food, and we'd have a really great time. So this year I decided, well, we'll just have a huge party, and I'm gonna hand out a service fee because of the fact that, you know, it has to be the way that it's working out.
Yeah, she's you're.
Well,
honey,
you
you're
know,
digging
I'm
a grave
I'm
now.
I'm actually a travel agent.
Oh, okay? No kidding.
And this is a package for me, and I'm not any money on this. I've got to pay for the whole thing.
Well, hold on.
He's paid for dinner, and it's just. It was a service fee. It was a crappy idea.
Yeah, it's a bad idea. I think you got to send something out, some sort of retraction out.
You know what? I don't have to now because you've announced it to the entire nation. I really appreciate it.
I'll announce it every 20 minutes like they do a recall on an automobile.
You know what? It was one of these things where I wanted to make sure that everybody was...
I understand. But, you know, here's the deal.
You're really making me nervous.
All right, either they love Drew or they don't. The $20 ain't going to get in the way of that.
All right, then
you can't buy love.
Every person that doesn't show up, will you pay the $45 that it's going to cost me to throw the party per person?
I will not pay the money, but I promise I will eat the food that you had allotted for them and drink the booze you had set aside. How about that?
Close enough.
I'll have a couple of my buddies from North Hollywood High on alert, and we'll page them to come in like bears going through a garbage at a campsite to just clean up anything that's left behind.
Okay.
All right. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't missing anything.
Was there anything else about our house you wanted to tell?
No.
That was
Susan,
it?
You know I love you, baby.
Oh, yeah. I know you do.
I'm a big fan of your husband's work.
Thank you for putting me on the spot.
All right.
Good night.
All right. Good night.
Buddy.
Good night. I don't kick Drew's ass when he gets home, either.
Oh, yeah,
this was my idea.
That won't happen.
All right, so I was right. It was just a horrible idea.
Listen, I'm not involved with this.
Okay.
I questioned it, and then I just sort of...
A little peculiar. I don't know. I got a pretty bad taste in my mouth about the whole thing now. I'm not sure if I'm going. All right. She's a lover. Hey, listen, she has the best of intentions. She's looking out for you.
That's right.
All right, we're going to Vegas. We're having a good time. What is that? Month and a half?
Yeah, a month.
All right. Looking forward to that. I'll tell you about this wild car accident after we take a call or two. But
is that all you had to say about our house, by the way?
House? Fantastic.
No, but you said you had to say something about our house. You meant this thing?
Yeah.
The invitation.
Right.
Yeah.
Jeannie.
Yes.
You're 20.
Yes.
What's going on?
I kind of wanted to talk to Dr. Drew about the fact that I was just diagnosed with a pelvic infection.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a six-month-old baby who nurses, and they told me the antibiotic that I'm going to have to be on, I'm going to have to stop nursing him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's never eaten out of a bottle. He's never eaten any cereal or anything, and I'm really worried about how this is going to affect him.
It's not going to be the first child that's transitioned to a bottle at 6 months of age.
And I was also wondering if after I'm off the antibiotic, if I'm going to be able to nurse him again.
He may not be too interested in it again.
Once you get him off?
Yeah, once you get over the bottle. But
I'm thinking about going back.
But, your anxiety and your sense of security that you provide him is maybe more important than anything else. I mean, you sound awfully anxious about this whole thing.
Yeah.
And one of your first jobs is to help the child manage anxiety. So you need to calm down about this.
Realize I joined the Navy just so that I could stay home and nurse him.
That's fine. That's fine.
But he quit his job as a high-profile attorney.
How'd you end up with a pelvic infection?
I don't know. I've never had anything wrong. I've never even had a yeast infection or anything. And all of a sudden, I was in some great pain. I went to the doctors. Actually, I went to the ER.
So this is something, some remnant of the childbirth, I think?
Actually, he told me that it's just that the bacteria is already there. It just kind of acted up.
I think it's a remnant of the husband joining the Navy, if you know what I'm saying.
Have you talked to your gynecologist about this?
I actually don't have a gynecologist.
Okay, before you do anything, see a gynecologist, okay?
Yeah.
Who delivered your baby?
I was in North Carolina then.
Okay, listen, if this is an important decision to you.
Really?
Well, she's very concerned about maintaining the breastfeeding.
Why are you concerned about the gynecologist? Why do you think this is suspicious?
Because the emergency room guys probably assumed that she was, her husband's out of town. And she's not even having sex, and they're treating her for pelvic inflammatory disease, it sounds like. It's just ridiculous.
Uh-huh.
I think they may be off base a little bit, and they may be able to at least get an antibiotic going that would not appear in the breast milk, potentially.
Hey, Drew.
Yeah.
You know, I was listening to something. You can breastfeed a kid, up until, the kid's seven.
I know. Some people have done that.
I mean, there's some really weird stuff going on.
Yeah.
Now,
That was a hippie thing. That was
maybe
the thing they did.
Maybe it's nature's way or something.
No.
I mean, maybe you're just an uptight white man.
No.
$20 to go to your party. You may be a little uptight. $20. What, I got a tippy on the way out? Hey, Drew, I brought you a present, but I'd like to be reimbursed. Did I tell you the biggest jackass of all time, which was, I know I've told this story once, but I think it was a year and a half ago. I just went to Darren from Goldfinger's bachelor party last weekend, so it's kind of fresh in my mind. And his best man called me and said, I'm going to need to collect the money in advance for the bachelor party. And I said, how about this? How about I show up with a few bucks in my wallet and I'll give you what you need when I show up to the party? And he said,
no.
I just don't want to get screwed. And I said, well, you look at it this way. If I show up, I got money. And if I don't show up, I don't owe you anything.
Right.
Yeah. And he gave me one of those, listen, I trust you. You're cool. I just don't want to get screwed. And I said, well, what do you want me to do? Run the money over to your house of $40, a week in advance? Don't worry. I got money in my wallet. I'm ready to party. But anyway, a buddy of mine had a bachelor party. I think I told you this, Drew. Went out with the best man, sort of a Julio Iglesias type, real suave guy. Was a doctor in Miami.
You told
looked
me
like Don thing. Johnson.
Yeah,
came out here from Miami, rented a Porsche, big hotshot guy with the tan and everything, wearing the purple crushed velvet blazer. Went out, met at a restaurant, decent restaurant. At the end of the night, check came, everyone reached for the wallet. He said, "No, I got it. I'll pick it up."
Oh, I remember you told
everyone
this.
Looked at him and said, "Hey, thanks a lot, buddy. Appreciate that."
Later, went in front of the groom.
Front of the groom. Yeah. Later, went to a strip joint. Actually, went to a drag joint. Huge mistake, everybody. Last thing you want to do is get drunk and lust after men who look like women. But we went to a drag joint. The Queen Mary, as a matter of fact. This is the night I met my stripper girlfriend.
Oh.
Yeah. He reaches, drinks come around again. Everyone reaches for the wallet. He says, no, I got it. And everyone says to him, hey, thanks a lot, man. That's real generous of you. But he's a big-time doctor, and he's the guy's best man. He makes a lot of money. I drag everyone out of there, and I take them to the Star Garden in North Hollywood. High five to Bubba, the bouncer. Walk right in. See Catelyn up on stage. That was the night I made her mind, Drew. The point is everyone left, and she had to drive me back to the drag place. Oh. Ended up going to Denny's for coffee for about 5 hours. But, again, everyone reaching for the wallet. He says, no problem, I got it. So, week goes by, we go to the wedding. I catch up to him at the wedding, the day before the wedding. I say, hey, Ron, thanks a lot. I don't know if I thanked you the other night for the bachelor party. It was real generous of you. He acts like he doesn't pay any attention to me. It was kind of weird. Later on, they have the wedding. They have the reception. People are drinking. People are walking around. The guy, the guy who got married, Phillips,
yeah.
His accountant, who was at the bachelor party, not the best man's accountant, the groom's accountant, comes up to me and the groom's brother, who are sitting around having a beer after the wedding, and says, hey, I'm collecting money for Ron. We started laughing. What? They're the best man. He figured it out. Everyone owes him about $30.
This guy is an asshole.
Oh, yeah. I said, are you serious? Yeah, he's serious. He sent you around to collect the money? Well, I am his accountant. So what's that have to do with anything? This is bizarre. Yeah, so I went and told my buddy Philip. I said, keep an eye on this guy. He's flawed. Mm. I know you think he's your best buddy. You've known each other for 10 years. He was your best man. He's a big hotshot head of God knows what in Miami hospital and everything. Keep an eye on him.
What happened to him?
Turned out to be three years later, he said, hey, that guy turned out to be a freak.
Yeah.
I said, that's right. That, everybody's what you call a character flaw, and you can't run from a character flaw. When people are flawed like that, that's it. You can't excuse that. Oh, he was drunk. You don't understand him. Yeah. There's another side of him. No. When you do something like that, you're flawed. It's like you put a firecracker in a cat's ass, you're flawed, unless you're under 13. You rape somebody, you're flawed. You beat a kid, you're flawed.
Yeah.
I don't care if you did it once or 1,000 times. There's certain people are flawed, and this is just as flawed an act as anything else was. I told him, I know he's your best friend, but he's flawed. Mm. And he turned out to be an a-hole. All right.
We're going to go to break.
Let me just tease a call before we go to break. Sarah?
Yes?
You're 21.
Yes.
What's going on?
Well,
wait a minute. I'm going to read it. How do you tell racist dad that she's going to trial for rape by black boyfriend?
Ex-boyfriend, thank you.
Ex-boyfriend. Sorry. Yeah. All right. Hold on. Wow.
And she sounds 12.
Uh-oh. Mm. Okay, this is going to be good. We'll be back.
Hi, this is David Spade, and when I'm driving around listening to the radio, if there's absolutely nothing on any other station, I listen to Loveline with Adam and Drew, because I'm naughty.
Yes, he is. That's my DJ voice. Yes, you is. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Fax number 310-854-4455.
That's your Tom Luckers voice. We have to do this, speaking of yours.
What's that? Mm. What do you got there?
We have to do some liners.
Oh, we'll do that. Mm. Drew and I did a big, long satellite tour today. Oh. I went to bed at 3. I got up at 6:15 this morning and talked to 35 TV stations about nothing.
I got a fax. How was the Arizona one?
That's the one where we had a little trouble.
Somebody faxed and apologized for how bad the interview was.
Oh, thank you. Was it somebody?
A listener, a viewer, who's an avid fan, and they set their alarm to get up and watch in their.
Oh, really? You know what happened with the Arizona one, and that's the only one I remember.
Because it stood out.
Shut up, Mike. Yeah, I remember it because she said, well, I don't know who they have over there, but here's the deal. A lot of people that got into TV and certainly into radio, they never really got into it because they were any good at it. They just got into it because they wanted to be on TV and or radio. And they just ask their questions, but they never listen to you. So they just have a list of questions. And how these satellite interviews work, everybody, is you just sit in a room on a chair with a mic pinned to your lapel, and just a blue sort of blank screen behind you and a camera, and you just look at the camera. Now,
you have an earpiece
that can hear the local Good Morning Tampa, Good Morning Tucson, Good Morning whatever show. You can't see who you're talking to. You just look right at the camera, and I guess if you're in Tucson or somewhere in Arizona and you're at home and you're watching, it kind of just looks like... any of those cable shows, Larry King, or not Larry King, but anyone where they're not face-to-face, like Groden or something like that. Right. But anyway, in the Arizona one, the woman said, she was kind of obnoxious, sounded like an ex-homecoming queen type, and she said, she was always laughing, "This is a family show," and she kept laughing, and she said, "What is the strangest call you all have ever got? Remember, this is a family show." And I said, "Well, seeing as how it's a family show, I won't tell about the time the guy was having sex with his dog." And she started jumping, "It's a family show. This is a family show." And I said to Drew, "Hey, Drew, is this a family show?" And Drew went, "I think it's a family show." So a couple of minutes later, now she was really paranoid. And so a few minutes later, now meanwhile, she did this interview where she just read the questions and she wouldn't answer or respond to anything.
Wasn't listening to us.
We said she wasn't listening. She just, there'd be a little pause, you'd hear her breathing, and then you'd get to the next question. But the funny thing is about 30 seconds later, after the dog having sex thing and the family show thing rattled off a few times, she said, "How would you describe your relationship or your relationship with your audience?" And Drew started, you know, droning on about God knows what. And I said, "It's the Gainsburger thing." And this is something I made up a year and a half or 2 years ago. And I think it's one of the few things I repeat, but it sort of works, which is when you want your dog to take a pill, an antibiotic, because it's got some stomach worms, you give him the pill, the dog spits it out on the ground. It's not going to take it. You got to take that pill. You got to smash it in a little Gainsburger. You got to give it to your dog. The dog's going to lap it up. Well, Drew's the pill, and I'm the Gainsburger. That's the relationship we have in the show. They get the medicine, and they don't even know it. Well, the thing that was funny is I said, "The dog," and you take the pill, and you ram it right in the middle of the Gainsburger. And she went, "Oh, no. This is a family show. This is a family show.
Yeah.
and Drew was going, no. Listen to him. And then I get, you take the pill and you mash it down inside the bar. Oh, it's a family show. It's a family show. And so Drew was arguing like an idiot. Okay, no. And I said, "Drew, don't argue with
her. It's a family show. Get out of here." She said, "We're leaving. We're gone."
I said, "It's a family show. Just stop talking." So we stopped talking, and then they just faded out. And then, all right, now Pop Larson's down at the Craig and Auto Parts. He's got some tips on how to beat the heat.
And it was like, "Get a tape of that."
Yeah, it was kind of funny. Ooh. It was pretty.
We had some decent ones, though. Some of them were all right.
I don't remember any of them because I slept for 3 hours. Yeah. But the point is I would have loved to have seen that. That's funny. All right. Now on to... anyway, so the thing is you do about 3 minutes with each different affiliate, and you power through about 25 of them in about 2 hours, and you're completely fried, and you just sit there drinking coffee. And it's always surreal because you're always off a 3-hour sleep, which makes everything bizarre. Yeah. All right. Who are we speaking to, Sarah? Sarah, we talked to before we went to the break. She's 21. How to tell her racist dad that she's going to trial to try to bust her ex-black boyfriend for rape. Sarah?
Yes?
How long did you go out with him?
That's like a 21-year-old?
No.
We went out for 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? You were raped before this guy, though?
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
What happened before this guy?
Nothing.
No.
Nothing like that.
Not with him, but with someone else.
No.
Not a boyfriend, family member.
No.
Huh?
No, that's not right.
What about
this had ever happened before.
What about your racist dad?
My dad, he's a minister in Wisconsin, And I'm in Kentucky. I have no family down here.
Hmm.
And I started dating this guy. I thought he was really nice. We met, like, right before I turned 21 in March.
Mm-hmm.
And we started dating, and he was really nice. And something started, I think he started, I thought he was sleeping around. I didn't know. Now I know he was, for sure, because it happened to another girl that's with me against him on this case. And so I had broken up with him on the 16th of May. It was Saturday. He was really drunk anyway, so I just told him to get out of my house. You know, we had a big fight.
Nice.
And he left.
Yeah.
And that Tuesday night, he came and whatever happened, happened.
He raped you?
Yeah.
Had you had sex with him before, though?
Yeah, we had a relationship. We were together.
For how long were you together?
2 months.
Two months. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what'd he do? How'd he get in the house?
He wanted to talk.
Oh, okay.
And I had let him in to talk.
All right. So you want to press charges, or you're going to press charges against him?
Yeah, I have grand jury Thursday morning.
No, yep. Hold on 1 second. Let me talk to my partner, Drew.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, she's got that little girl voice.
Yeah.
Her dad's a racist and a minister.
Yeah.
She's calling from Kentucky. It sounds like trouble, but she pressed charges.
She's going after it, yeah.
She's going after the guy.
Yeah.
Which says to me, she's healthy.
Right.
She wouldn't go after the guy otherwise.
Right.
When did you lose your virginity?
When I was 17.
17?
Mm-hmm.
Did your dad ever strike you or anything like that, physically abuse you?
No. He was very stern, and we got spanked when we were children. Not really spanked, I guess you would say. He struck us, yeah.
Did he use an object?
Yeah.
Okay, that's against the law.
What do you use, the Bible?
No.
Not only is that, that's against the law, it's abuse.
The Torah?
I mean, that's why
you... No, he used spoons and belts.
Okay. Spoons and belts?
All right, Sarah, so you've been abused. This is what we were picking up on.
Oh, okay.
And so that's what led this guy to sense out that you were a good victim for him.
Yeah, but it turns out she's not such a good victim.
Well, but she was good enough to manipulate, to go out on, rape and whatnot. And thank God she had never been victimized before. She'd never really been in that
really?
Role. Yeah.
Yeah, she was sort of halfway there.
Right, and so she's going to take it and do us right. Okay. Well,
my question is kind of I'm sorry, I'm at work, so I have to kind of speak.
Well, it's interesting that you would bring to the table, how am I going to deal with my dad? You know, how about your own feelings and going forward in this very difficult...
I can do it by myself. I've been
but the point is that your thinking immediately goes to your dad. And if you want to give your dad any credit at all, it's his abuse of you that put you in the position to have this happen to you in the first place. Okay, so really what dad has to say about this, I couldn't care less. I'm sorry.
No, I couldn't either.
It's important to me, though, Drew.
Well, he listened.
But I'm trying to support... Sarah, and I don't mean to invalidate that issue, but I'm just trying to support you and give you the message that your concern about Dad should not be nearly as much as you're concerned about yourself and your own feelings. And that, sure, you want the connection support of your family, but what he believes and thinks about this should not concern you, because you're a separate person, and whatever victimization you've gone through is really... set up by him anyway.
But see, that doesn't help me in the sense of I'm here alone, living alone, you know, work 12 to 8 every night.
You just finished saying that you could do it by yourself.
I know, but it's hard.
Yeah. Imagine really how much Dad's going to love black guys after this.
Yeah.
Tell him he was white when you started dating him.
Excuse me?
All right, but Sarah, I don't know what you want us to tell you. For Christ's sake. No, she's not black. What are you, some kind of moron,
well,
Drew?
I'm just curious. Some people get really weird about this stuff.
You're retarded, for Christ's sake. Shut Drew's mic. That's enough. I don't know. Like, well, I give $20 in it for the party. All right, and Sarah, you're white, right?
Yes, sir.
Of course you're white. There's no black chick named Sarah. Sarah Vaughn, what color was she? All right, the point is this. You live in where, Kentucky?
I live in Kentucky.
Your father lives in what city?
Wisconsin, Sheboygan, Wisconsin.
Good enough. You don't need him. Why do you need him? This is going on
He's
in Kentucky.
My father.
It's going on in Kentucky. Listen, you want to bust your dad's balls is what you want
to
do.
Right, the whole thing was to try to recreate something with him anyway to get him reestablished as the idealized dad.
Mic's back on, everybody.
Yeah, the idealized dad she had in the first place.
Let me explain what went on, everybody. I swear to God, Sarah, listen to me. this is what went on. Your dad beats you with a belt. He beats you with a spoon. What do you do, a little hand jive with that spoon? He beats you with a belt. He beats you with a spoon.
Guido.
He's a racist, and so what do you do? What do you do to pay Papa back? You get up with a black guy, right?
I guess.
Screw Dad. You got anger for him. Let's face it. You hate the guy, and this is the way you pay him back. Right. So, uh-oh, now I feel bad. But now this is... Now you want Dad to know. He doesn't have to know, but you're going to let Dad know that here's what happened.
Where's your mom?
In Michigan.
Why don't you use your mom as a source of support?
Yeah, but...
And your friends.
So you drew...
And people that you know are going to actually be genuinely and available and supportive and not potentially add to the misery
but
of
you're,
all
you're missing the point,
I understand.
Drew.
I got the point. I'm trying to get her back into a realistic posture, which is to get the support she needs.
Sarah?
Yeah.
Well, here's take a breath, because you've been through a lot.
Are you getting treatment for your rape?
Excuse me?
Are you getting treatment for the rape?
No.
Why don't you make a commitment to do that?
I don't know how. I have no insurance.
There are rape support groups, 12-step groups. There's all kinds of things available out there. Do you have an attorney?
No. I'm just doing it with the chief of police for my...
Okay. Then talk to the chief of police about whatever available resources there are for people that have been victimized by violent crimes.
They have... Okay. This is one thing we have in this country of ours. I mean, we do have a pretty decent network set up for this.
Yeah.
For rape, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
It's the one thing you can get support for with a little or no cost.
And Sarah, I hope you're not feeling as though Adam is trying to make you feel responsible for being a victim of rape. That's not the issue here at all. It's just we're trying to get you to be more realistic about why this need to go after Dad for something that's unrealistic and you know you're not going to get from him.
I just want him to... I don't
we know.
Know
you just wanted to know. We know it's all part of sort of wreckage from the past.
Right.
But get the people that are actually going to support you, mom, friends, get that built structure in place long before Dad gets involved.
The Dad one, I know what the impulse is, but it's going to backfire and it's going to get you in deeper. Sarah, whatever issues you have with your dad, you have with your dad. But they don't really involve this boyfriend, his skin color, or what he did to you. The issues that you have with your dad are 15 years old,
right,
and they're separate.
Yep.
So if you want to address those, then address those. But here's what I would do. All right, Sarah, I'm going to lay out the next 6 months of your life for you.
Okay.
You're coming to Vegas with me to go to Drew's party. I want you to swing by the ATM.
I don't have $20.
I got that waived. No, listen, I want you to take care of this guy and get him put away like he belongs to be put away. That's a very strong thing to do, and I think it's going to be a very cathartic, empowering thing to do.
Yes.
And you're going to feel good about it. I want you to get involved with a group of
women,
mainly. I hope there's no guys in there who have been victims of rape, and so you can get a little counseling and work this thing out. And then 6 months from now, 8 months from now, when the trial's behind you and you've got a little counseling in and you're feeling stronger about your position emotionally, then you can go in and start confronting your dad. Not about the rape, not about the black guy, not about any of this, just about his relationship with you.
In the meantime, get mom and friends together and use them as pillars of support.
So, well, I broke that one wide open like Barney and Barnaby Jones.
Yeah, be careful.
Oh yes. Listen, everybody, there's always an agenda. Whenever you go, why does, wait a minute, her dad's a racist, why would she want him to know that she was sleeping with a black guy? Huh, that sounds peculiar. He lives in another state? Oh, he doesn't have to know. Why tell? Uh-huh. Something's up.
And it all started with nothing like that. I was never abused.
Right.
It started with that.
All right. All right. Abused just like that reporter from Arizona got to us. All right, we'll be back.
Hey, this is Nikki Sixx. from Motley Crue.
And this is Donna Yerico from Baywatch. And you're listening to Love Line with Adam Carolla
and Dr. Drew.
Ooh.
Mike, there we go.
Mike.
Are they still together?
I don't know. I think they may be. She's sober, Donna, now, I think. Last time I ran into her, she was.
Sober, not drinking, or into sobriety? Abstinent or sober?
I don't know. I can't tell you. Either way. She's not. She doesn't pronounce her name anymore. It's funny. She has a name that's not good. She's trying, see, that's why when I give birth to a Chinese kid, you know, name like Wu. You're going to have a pony keg in you and still say Wu. You know, but D'Errico, you got to be stone cold sober. You have a couple of glasses of Chardonnay and it comes out the
D'Errico from Baywatch.
You know, I think why people have trouble talking when they're drunk is because they focus too much on talking. Normally, you just talk. When you're drunk, you actually picture your lips moving. That's why you bite your tongue when you're stoned. You know, you go, where's my tongue now? Ah! You ever do that, Drew?
What do you got there?
Oh. I want to ask Carla, who sent us this wonderful fax about our appearance on the Arizona morning television today, who said she taped it, I think. I heard you were going to be on it, so I taped it and watched it this evening. I must say I was embarrassed.
It was on an evening.
It was horrible. Listen, jackass,
I
taped it and watched it this evening.
I see.
I was embarrassed. It was horrible. That's what it goes on to say. Anyway, this particular show, we'll never have, and it'd be funny for us to see it. We'll put some clips on the radio.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about...
Gainsburger.
All right, I won't talk about having sex with the dog, then. You got to understand, everybody, I have a kind of Tourette's, which is if you tell me 10 times this is a family show, I have to say something that's horrible and offensive because you've driven that. And did I say anything horrible and offensive to anyone else?
No. No.
Thank you. All right, here we go, Drew.
Yeah.
Ready to rock on?
Oh, what about the car accident?
I've been talking too much.
All right.
Okay. You talked me into it. I'm driving home today from this meeting, and it was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and as I was driving up my hill, I live up a hill, and there's a windy road. There was a cop car coming up the street, and then another car coming the other way, and there was about 4 or 5 cop cars, and this is an area where there's never any cop cars.
Except the meter maid.
Oh, yeah, she's up there all the time. And a car, a woman in a brand-new Infiniti i30 had been going down the hill. It was all over the news today. It was a car accident up in the hills where a car went over the cliff. The woman, I don't know what happens to women once they hit menopause, but they should all have their license revoked. Yeah. Soon as that egg stops dropping,
That's
when we revoke the license. I swear to God, because she said, here was her excuse. She was going down a windy road, hit the accelerator, and then I guess panicked and stayed on the accelerator. Plowed through my buddy JJ's fence, who's about 4 houses up the street from me, and her car was teetering on a 30-foot retaining wall between, you know, the house below this guy's. I mean, she plowed through, I mean, just drove through a fence and drove through a bunch of shrubs driving down the side of the hill. And her excuse was, it was a new car. And I thought to myself, in the old car, where was the accelerator? On the steering wheel? Was it like a... was it a throttle control, like on a motorcycle or something? The gas is on the right, the brake's on the left. That's it. I don't care if you're driving an effing Isuzu or a Rolls Royce. Same place.
Right.
You've driven 1,000 rental cars in your life. You've driven down any hills. And here's the real scary part. You know, as soon as she panicked and hit the gas a little bit and started lunging forward, she then laid into it.
Yeah. Yeah. She had to.
Imagine how freaked out you'd be if you're in the passenger seat. This guy's like, why are you accelerating into the fence and then down the hill and off the road? Why do you still have the gas on? But eventually the car stopped, and there must have been a slow news day because there were helicopters. There were 5 helicopters buzzing over, and I was looking at the news, and I could see the roof of my house. It was great. But the thing that was funny is there were 6 cop cars on there. And I don't know what it is with cops, but they immediately turn into dicks in these situations. So we're pulling up the street, and the guy, you know, stops us. Hey, do you live here? You live around here? I said, yeah, as a matter of fact, I do. Okay, move on. Then later on, you know, these roofers are still at my house, and they're looking over the fence at what's going on, and there's some green, you know, sport utility vehicle parked down on the street, perfectly legally, and about a block away from where this was, but they had to move a fire engine in and get a big crane in and everything. And the cop yells up to my house at me and a couple of guys, who land, whose car is this? And I said, it's not, which one? This one, move it, now! And I thought to myself, hey, dickweed, the car's parked legally. I didn't plan on some bitch driving off the road up there.
Was it one of your cars?
No.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
Wasn't even one of your cars.
And then when I was driving down the hill, a half hour later, another cop car was doing about 60 up the main street, heading there. There's already five cars there. Listen, and all you hear from the mayor and the police chief, we don't have enough cops. We don't have enough personnel on the street. We can't put enough. Maybe the problem is they're all on the same street. You got one woman in her 50s who drove her car off the road an hour ago, and you got a six car speeding up to the scene. The five of them aren't enough. I can't stand this. Don't you idiots have radios? Why don't you call up and see what's going on? Yeah, there's six cars, Bill. Phil's going on the donut run. You stay down and solve some crime.
I think Culver City's finest will be stopping by again tonight.
Please.
They'll come by and talk to you, maybe.
Explain to me, if you do come by Culver City's finest, why there's got to be six squad cars when something is completely wrapped up. Why the six car needs to be en route at 60 miles an hour to the scene when it's clearly in hand. And how come eight guys standing by eight cars with their hands in their pockets and their motor running for an hour? Why is that necessary? Meanwhile, there's some poor Asian liquor store owners getting held up down the street because there's 80 of you having some party and yelling at people that are driving around.
No, time for break again.
No, shut up.
Mark,
you're 22.
Hey, guys, how are you doing?
Good. What's going on?
Good. First, I just wanted to give a little testimony on Sarah of how her dad's the minister, and, of course, she's going to go and do something that'll totally piss him off, because I've done that, and it's taken me a while to realize that I screwed myself over.
Sure.
Just because I was totally pissed at my dad.
Right.
Yeah, you rebel if your parents screw with you.
I know, but a lot of times, and I think it's kind of an important point for a lot of people out there to listen to, that if they're doing something that they know is going to get them into trouble, a lot of times they're not doing it to be cool or whatever. They're doing it because they're trying to piss somebody off, and they're end up going to screw themselves over.
Absolutely.
So what I did, thankfully, I was rebelling against unemployed parents who didn't have any car insurance, so I showed them by getting a job and buying a house. It was great. It was a real slap in the face.
Okay, Drew, here's the situation.
Mark.
Using heroin, okay? Mm-hmm. Totally am ready to get off of it. And I went ahead and met with a neuropsychologist and got a prescription for Revia.
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
It's an opiate blocking agent.
Yeah. What he told me, though, I haven't taken it. I got it probably 2 or 3 days ago.
You take it, you're going to go into the worst withdrawal you've ever had in your entire life.
Tell me. Yeah, he told me I have to stay away from...
At least 2 weeks.
The H 10 days.
Yeah, 2 weeks, I usually say.
Okay.
But it doesn't...
It's 10 working.
Revia doesn't do anything for you, no.
It what?
It doesn't do anything. It just makes the heroin not work if you shoot it again.
Oh, I never...